Good to have you here, and we all know, each and every one of us knows that by being here, we will be blessed. We will be richly blessed. Laurie.
Good morning, and what a beautiful day. It was nice I could wear my summer dress one last time on September 25th. That's pretty great. Announcements, yeah, well, maybe one more. Wouldn't that be nice? Be optimistic. Lots of announcements today. The first is the Living Beyond Yourself Bible study, Exploring the Fruit of the Spirit. It resumes on Thursday, October 6th at 10 a.m., and they'll be starting with week 8, the study of week 8, day 1 through 3. Food bank donations as Thanksgiving approaches. Please keep in mind that we are collecting donations for the food bank. Donations can be placed in, there's two tubs out in the foyer. The bridal shower for Janice Reed and Carl Doran will be Wednesday, October 12th at 7:30. And Marge and Laurie have more information if you need it. Potluck luncheon will be following the worship service today. And we know there's always lots of food, so even if you didn't bring anything, please stay. This Tuesday, September 27th, is the official board meeting at 7:30. All members are welcome. October 1st, Saturday, will be the elders' meeting at 9 a.m. October 2nd is our family worship with Holy Communion, and that will be the final day for the Thanksgiving food bank offerings. On the 9th of October, Sunday the 9th, is Thanksgiving Sunday, and it'll be a family worship. The following Saturday, or actually 2 weeks later, the 22nd, October 22nd, will be our cleanup, our fall church cleanup at 9 a.m. And it's always nice having lots of people out for that. Many hands make light work. And Vacation Bible School, for the summer of 2012, we are looking for leadership for our VBS. Please give some prayer and some thought to this, and if you feel that you'd be able to take on that leadership role, please speak to Ian or any of the elders. We'd appreciate that. Are there any other announcements this morning? Thank you.
I have a couple of things which are not in your bulletin. There's two things which I've just finalised this week, and that's how they didn't get into the bulletin, but you need to mark your diaries. Wednesday, October the 19th. Wednesday, October the 19th, 7 o'clock here at our church. We have the funeral company that used to be called Personal Alternatives, who are now called Alternative Funeral Services, I believe. They're coming out here to do a little workshop for us about funerals. And it's called, what are you laughing at? You'll be having one someday. It's called Dying to Know. And as the title suggests, it's a kind of a workshop thing where we can find out all those things that we never knew and wanted to know about funerals. You know, about planning your own, for example, or prepaying it and all that kind of stuff. And she's going to come, and we're going to open it to the community. So anyone who would like to come, that's Wednesday the 19th of October, 7 o'clock. And if you've got any questions that you want to have answered, write them down. And there'll be plenty of time at that particular time to do that. We better have it before. Also, on Sunday, October the 30th, that is the day that Bill Nixon from the Mustard Seed will be coming to join with us in our worship service. I'm not sure at this point in time how much time Bill wants. I don't know whether he's going to preach or whether he's just going to talk about and thank everybody for their mustard seed at the beginning. But they're two dates, and again, if you know people in our community who have been coming to the Mustard Seed with us, are involved in supplying food or anything like that, let them know, because he's primarily coming to say a big thank you to this congregation who've served the Mustard Seed for 28 years, and he's coming. And in case you're wondering who Bill Nixon is, Pat Nixon, who founded the Mustard Seed, Bill Nixon is his brother. And he is a former Baptist pastor, Okay? So if he's going to preach, I'll tell him he has to preach congregational style. So there we are. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In Psalm 25 we read, "To you, Lord, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Saviour." Leading our worship choruses this morning, we have Kathy, and Monique is going to play the piano for us. And I think Monique and Kathy, between them, have chosen the pieces quite deliberately so that they fit in with Monique.
Good morning, everyone. For our choruses this morning, we're singing two old hymns, one slightly revised. So we're going to sing "It Is Well With My Soul," and we're also going to sing a mildly updated version of "Just As I Am." So please stand, and we'll worship the Lord with our voices. That's good. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
It is well with my
Great. Now we're going to sing some new words to three verses of Just As I Am, so pay attention. If you don't like them, tell me. If you do like them, tell Ian. Just as I am, with nothing to say, because my sins have blocked the way, oh Jesus, take them all away, O Lamb of God. Just as I am, though tossed about with troubles and conflicts, fear and doubt, I will come to you and lay it out, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, you'll take me in, you'll wash away my load of sin, and give me hope to start again, O Lamb of God, come.
Shall we just express our appreciation to Monique, who played for us there in the choruses? Well done, Monique. Good job. That Just As I Am that we sang there, the original version, I think everybody knows, is the one that Billy Graham used to always have at his crusades. And after singing that, or whilst they were singing that, Billy Graham would make the appeal and he would say, "I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seats." And everybody used to get up and come. And it was great. And that first one that we sang, "It Is Well With My Soul," on the topic of funerals, when you come to my funeral, that's what you'll be singing. Great hymn. Great hymn. Afterwards. Let us bow our heads and let us join together in prayer. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, that each of us here this morning has heard your voice. No matter how your voice has come to us, Father, we have heard your voice when you have called us to come. And we have come, gracious Father, to this blessed place where we know that when we come through these doors, we will be greeted by your grace, by your love, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. We see your face, Lord, shining from the faces of all of our friends whom we meet here. We feel your presence as we shake hands, as we hug, as we smile at one another. And in our hearts, gracious Father, there sits a yearning for your grace, for your Spirit, and for your holy word. And so we ask you, gracious Lord, to open our hearts, to open our minds, and that each of us this day, Lord, may hear your voice as you speak your word to us. Bless us as we worship, Lord, for we worship in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading today is Exodus 17, 1 through 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there. They grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 78, 1 through 4, 12 through 16, and 39. "Listen, my people, to my teachings and pay attention to what I say. I'm going to use wise sayings and explain mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known, things that our ancestors told us." "We will not keep them from our children.
We will tell the next generation of the Lord's power and his great deeds and the wonderful things he has done."
While their ancestors watched, God performed miracles in the plain of Zoan in the land of Egypt. He divided the sea and took them through it. He made the waters stand like walls. He caused a stream to come out of the rock and made water flow like a river. He remembered that they were only mortal beings, like a wind that blows by and is gone.
So now we come to our special music, and I am delighted to have presenting our special music for us this morning our very own Margaret Brown. So Margaret, if you would please come on up here and present for us special music. Thank you.
You've got everything you need, Margaret?
Yes, I have.
Splendid, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning.
The balm in Gilead. Now the balm was the resinous substance that they collected from the sap of a small evergreen tree that grows in Arabia and Ethiopia. And it was valued very highly for its fragrance and for its medicinal properties. They believed that it could both heal body and spirit. So they used it widely whenever they could avail themselves of it. It's mentioned in the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22, Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 17. Now the song itself is a Negro spiritual, And in my estimation, there is nobody on God's green earth that can put the soul into music the way our black brothers can. They sing from the depths of their souls. And when they were so persecuted, years past, this is how they would comfort themselves. They would turn to their God and they would sing. And it would be with a simplicity and a reverence that is not matched anywhere else. This is one of my favorites, and now I would like to share it with you.
Appreciate that, Margaret. That was beautiful. You sang it with the same level of soul as the people you talked about. Thank you so very much. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. And I just want to mention, presenting music during the offertory will be Kelsey. Here comes Kelsey. Thank you so much. Oh. Father, we thank you again for your grace and for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Father, to accept these gifts, and we ask you to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Kelsey, what was the name of that piece? Sorry? Theme and Variation. Just in case anybody's trying to place it. Theme and Variation. Didn't she do a good job? Well done, Kelsey. Beautiful, beautiful. If the children would like to come and join me, please. Here we come. Okay, first of all, question. Who here has, right now, either a baby brother or a baby sister? You got a baby brother or a baby sister? Yeah? What have you got?
I got a big brother.
A big brother. Yep. Okay, so who has ever had a baby brother or a baby sister?
Me.
Yep. Me. Oh, that's good. Is that right? I want a few more here. Who's ever seen a baby? Excellent. Excellent. When you talk to a baby, does the baby understand you?
No.
Oh. So how do you try to get a baby to understand you? Eh? You teach it. But I mean, if you can't talk to them, how can you teach them? So how do you talk to a baby when you do talk to a baby? Sign language. Oh, dear. Now then, you've all had babies in your households and you all know what babies look like. So how do we communicate with a baby? What did you say, Luke?
Sign.
Say it again.
Oh, I know.
You said it right the first time. He said, ooh, ooh. So how do you talk to a baby? You talk baby talk, don't you? Who knows how to talk baby talk?
Me.
Who? You know how to talk. How do babies talk? How do you talk to a baby?
Me, mama.
There you go. So if you're talking to a baby, you kind of make noises. Go on then. Now get ready. When I say get to three, when I get to three, I want you to talk like a baby, loud. Okay? Stand up, turn around and face everybody. And when you talk to the baby, I want you to show people how you talk. Are you ready? One, two, three. All right, that's good. And that is how we teach our children. That's why eventually we send them off to school. when my children were young, when they were babies, what I used to do was, first of all, I used to look around to see if there was anybody watching. And if there wasn't, I would pick the baby up and I would talk like a baby. And you go, a-go-chicko-chicko, I wouldn't do it in church, would I? But when I'm private, because I'm trying to communicate to the baby. So when we try to talk to a baby, we become like a baby, don't we? We become like a baby. Now then, when Jesus came to the earth, who's Jesus, by the way? Does he know who Jesus really is?
He's God the Father.
Jesus is God, okay? Now, God created all of us, and he loves us just the same as we love babies. And God wanted to talk to us. He wanted to communicate with us. So he became like we are. We become like a baby to talk to them. God became like one of us in Jesus. And he came to the earth and he talked to us just as we talk to one another. And he made us understand how much he loves us. And he loves us so much that Jesus died on the cross and came to life again.
because he loves us so much. Isn't that great? So next time you talk baby talk, think of God talking to you. And that's important. Now then, we've got some Bible presentations. Susan, over to you and Andrea. Thanks, Kathy. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 249, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart.
Through all its toil.
I went in yesterday to see Dick Paterno. And we all know who Dick Paterno is. He used to sit over here with May, his wife. So May passed away, and then Dick's health kind of deteriorated, and currently he's in the old hospital, and his mind is in very poor shape. It really is, and it's sad. So if you would just remember Dick in your prayers, as I'm sure you will, and Alice Francis sends her love to everyone and wants to remember to be remembered to everyone, and if you get the chance to pop in and see her or give her a call, she would appreciate it. I know Keith was in seeing her recently, and she was delighted to see him. Absolutely delighted, and she was telling me all about the visit and what a good time they had. Now, just before we go into our prayer, I've got something here I want to share with you. I'll read this to you. We have just passed the 10-year anniversary of the attack on the World Trade Center a couple of weeks ago. Among the thousands of victims of that attack was Father Michael F. Judge, the fire department chaplain, who, whilst ministering to the firefighters working at Ground Zero, was killed by falling debris from the towers. In Father Michael's pocket was this prayer that he always carried with him. The prayer reads, "Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and Lord, keep me out of your way." And that was his prayer in his pocket, which was found when his body was recovered. Father Michael was a man of commitment. He understood that his commitment was not a trivial matter. He is the one who said, "I'll go, Father," and he went. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and ever-loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for every breath that we draw at this moment, that gives us life and enables us to know that you continue to sustain us and reminds us constantly that we belong to you. We rejoice, Holy Father, that when you created us, you implanted within our very souls that which connects us with you forever, and it draws us back to you, even and especially when we wander away from the narrow pathway of life. We thank you, gracious Father, for your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that through him, Lord, you came and you lived as we live, and that he bore our sins on the cross at Calvary, as he demonstrated that his mighty power over Satan and sin is great. And then he arose again from death to life, that we, all of we who follow him, might also have that glorious eternal life with him, with you, Father, in paradise. Loving Lord, we thank you for the peace and safety in which we enjoy the prosperity of life in this part of your world. And we offer to you, Lord, these words of thanksgiving in the knowledge of all of the catastrophes that take place in so many other different parts of the world. Loving Lord, we pray that you will continue to grant your protection and your strength to all of those who are affected by the ravages of wind and wave. Sustain those who are homeless and jobless. Reunite families, Lord, who are separated. And we pray that you will bring encouragement to those who continue to provide for the needs of all who suffer. We thank you, gracious Father, for our church. And we thank you for the loving fellowship that we experience by being part of our church family. We pray, gracious Lord, that you will watch over those who are separated from us at this time, and that you will grant to them your grace, your love, and your protection. And there are those of our church family, Lord, and those of our acquaintances who we know of, who need your special care and attention at this time. People, Lord, who right at this time we can see in our mind's eye. You have placed them, Father, upon our hearts, and you call us to be watchful and prayerful in their cause. And so now, gracious Father, here in the silence and in the beauty of holiness, we whisper their names before your throne of grace. We pray in silence. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you to be our light, to be our guide, and to be our protector as we go forth into another new week. May this week bring peace, joy, and grace to us all as we serve you, Father, as we serve those whom we meet. And we pray that everything that we say and everything that we do will be to your great honour and to your glory. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say. And Lord, keep me out of your way. We pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew 21, verses 23 to 32. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of these of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." And our epistle reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose.
Thanks to Bill for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing once more to the glory of God from the Red Hymn Book, number 214, Meekness and Majesty. Pray with me, please. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We Canadians are amazingly a very well-behaved, law-abiding folk. We are polite, and generally speaking, we obey all of the rules of life. Now, watch people from other countries that we normally regard as civilized, how they push and shove and nudge you out of the way, and they won't stand correctly and formally in line. They want everybody out of the way. Try driving in many of the great cities of the world. You will come back with horror stories of people carving you up and driving through stop signs and totally ignoring traffic lights and so on. And some of you are sitting saying, but that happens here. But not quite as badly as other places. Most of us obey the rules. Back home here in the main, we quite passively do what is expected of us. I'm sure lots of you can remember the old TV show, the classic Candid Camera. Well, there was one show, and I don't know whether you actually saw it, but on this particular sketch that they did, there were two telephone booths side by side, and one was labelled men and the other was labelled women. Now, as the camera recorded the scene, not one person using those phone booths violated the signs. Even when the men's booth was busy with a great big lineup and the woman's booth was free, no man went and used the woman's booth. Now, that was quite a few years ago now, and I doubt if the camera would today record the same level of obedience, but who knows? This is an old story from a well-known newspaper, and it goes back to November the 30th, 1971. Five heavily armed men shot the glass doors out of a bank, and they entered firing automatic weapons, wounding 12 people. One of the bank tellers ran from the banking hall, and she made it up to the upstairs to the ladies' restroom. And one of the gunmen chased her, but he stopped when he got to the door. And he shouted in the door to her to come out, but she didn't come out. So he went back downstairs to help his colleagues to carry on robbing the bank. So he might be a robber and he might be a murderer, but he would not enter the ladies' restroom. He behaved himself. And again, the same thing might not happen today, but it does illustrate that element in our makeup. Generally speaking, we obey the rules and we know where we do not belong and we do not go there. So most of us do not have a problem with downright disobedience. What we do sometimes have a problem with is motivation. We tend, in the main, to be law-abiding. But for the most part, we are passive. Our sins are generally sins of omission. There is an old Japanese legend that tells of a man who died and went to heaven. And he said that heaven was beautiful, full of lush gardens and glittering mansions. But the man was brought to this great room, a huge room, and this room was lined with shelves, and the shelves were stacked high with piles of human ears. All these ears on the shelves. And the heavenly guide explained that these ears belonged to all of the people on earth who listened regularly to the word of God, but never acted upon God's teaching, never did anything about it. And so he said, when these people died, only their ears went to heaven. Sins of omission are so easy to fall prey to. I wonder if you've ever come across integrity deficit disorder. We hear about all these kinds of things, don't we? Integrity deficit disorder. If you are not familiar with the title, I'm certain that you will be familiar with the symptoms. A person who has this disorder, they know what is right, but they don't do what is right. They know what they should do, but they don't go ahead and do it. They make a promise or a commitment, but they fail to keep it. They fail to follow through. So when you suspect a sufferer of integrity deficit disorder, you're never quite sure if you can trust this person or not. You know, you just don't know. Integrity deficit disorder. They know what is right, but they do not do it. A second symptom of this, and perhaps one of the causes, is that people with integrity deficit disorder are controlled not by themselves, but by outside forces. They let their feelings and emotional responses of the moment govern their behavior. For example, if someone is rude to them, they are instantly rude in return. They fire right back, you know, triggered straight off by that. They are controlled by whatever is going on around about them at the time. Now, we're all affected by circumstances, but we should not be controlled by them. The chief priests and the elders of the synagogue had just come to Jesus, and they had questioned his authority to say and to do all of these things that he was doing. They believed that they themselves were the leaders of the Jewish people. And this Jesus, well, he was a reactionary. He was preaching heresy. He was leading people away from their religious traditions. So Jesus tells them a story. And he begins the story with the words, "What do you think? What do you think?" He's asking you and I the same question. What do you think? A man has two sons and a vineyard. The vineyard is obviously busy, so he goes to the first son and he asks him to go and work in the vineyard. "No way," says his son, "I'm not going to work in the vineyard." And afterwards he thinks about it and he does a U-turn. He changes his mind and he went and did as his father asked him to do. So dad then goes to the second son, makes the same request, "Go and work in the vineyard." "Yes, of course, sir, of course I will," said this fine, upstanding young man. But he never actually went anywhere near the vineyard. So Jesus asks the question, which of the two did what his father wanted? And the words translated "did what his father wanted" can also be translated "did what was right." Did what was right. And that's the translation that I prefer. The religious leaders replied, as Jesus knew they would, by answering, "The first son." That's the one who said no, and he changed his mind. And Jesus is saying, "Remember, what do you think? What do you think?" Now, when you read this text again, you'll notice that Jesus never ever said that that was or was not the correct answer. He didn't say that. The son who said that he would go to the vineyard but didn't was obviously wrong. And we're all thinking, well, sure he was. He was obviously wrong. But surprisingly, so was the other son. It was absolutely unheard of for a son to publicly disobey his father. It dishonored the father's name. It was considered a gross insult to the father, to the whole family, and in those days, public image was highly esteemed. So in the light of this information, we should ask the question again. Which of the two did what was right? And Jesus says, "What do you think?" Neither of them was a perfect son. One of them publicly disgraced his father, but he eventually obeyed him, whilst the other retained the family image in public, but then disobeyed the father. So Jesus' question to the religious leaders was not as simple as it sounds to us. Being reactive people, the religious leaders said what they believed, what they were supposed to say. And then Jesus delivered his punchline. And he says, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Now, this really was quite a punchline that Jesus delivers, and the religious leaders are being punched very, very hard. And when Jesus spoke these words, there would have been several gasps of astonishment from the crowd. It was unthinkable to say that gross sinners like tax collectors and prostitutes would ever even get into heaven. Never mind ahead of the Pharisees. How dare he say that? Only people with the right pedigree and the right credentials get into heaven, so the people had been taught. And these people, everyone knew, were the Pharisees. But Jesus makes the point that those dreadful sinners, those dreadful tax collectors and prostitutes, they repented. They repented. And that's how you get into heaven. Jesus is God, God with us. And God is once again telling us what heaven is like. And he's telling us how he wants us to live our lives, because he wants all of us in heaven with him. So God's parables are not just stories for us to listen to and make judgments about. That is the reactive person's response. God's parables are held up before us like big mirrors. And he asks us the question, do you see yourself? Do you see yourself? And he hopes to get from us a positive response. A few years ago, William Tarbell used an analogy, and I'm going to borrow his analogy. He was explaining about light, how it travels at 186,000 miles per second. Now, if the mathematicians in the congregation want to convert that into kilometers, you go right ahead. I'm not going there. 186,000 miles per second will do me nicely. Now, he said, if that is too hard to imagine, think of it another way. When you look out of your window and see the stars shining at night, the starlight shining in your window left that star at about the same time that Shakespeare was writing his plays. And that was around about the year 1600. The light has been travelling all that time to reach you and provide light. Then he goes on to make this profound statement. The work of the first disciples still influences you. Centuries ago, men and women were commissioned to make disciples of all nations. And although they have been dead for around about 2,000 years, the effect of their work has travelled throughout history, and it has touched us. It is felt in our lives today. It is felt in our churches today. End of quote. A handful of people, about 2,000 years ago, turned the world upside down. How come? How did they do it? Was it because they were intellectually brilliant? No, there's no sign of that. Was it because they were rich and powerful people? No, they were not. Hardly. They were a motley crew of people considered to be at the bottom of the social order of the day. Were they strategically placed? No. They were Galileans. They were kind of regarded as hillbillies as far as the esteem of their neighbours went. Then how did they have such an impact on the world? And how do they continue to have an impact on the world? Because they were totally dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, was with them. And it gave them power. Wonderful and amazing power. We sing there is power in the blood. Power in the blood. And the power of God's, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood comes to us in the power of his Holy Spirit. There is no limit to what we can do in this world if Jesus is truly our Lord. We don't have to be rich. We don't have to be powerful. We don't have to be important. We don't have to be strategically placed in Toronto or wherever. Wherever we are. And I think it's safe to say that most of us have good intentions. But we are frequently told that that is what the pathway to hell is paved with. Good intentions which are not carried through. Sins of omission. Frequently we commit the sins of omission. Jesus told a story about two sons who were asked by their father to work. And Jesus says to you and I, what do you think? What do you think? Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns this morning, we start with the hymn 380, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Kingdom shore, to thy shore. children, that our lives may be a beacon in this darkness that surrounds us, a light that others then may see. To be God's people in this place, live His goodness, share His grace,
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.